barring any unforeseen circumstances, state lawmakers are about to wrap up the 2017-2018 session of the state legislature. So this hour, we're welcoming two state lawmakers from western and northwestern Wisconsin to give us their thoughts on what they liked about the session, what they were most proud of, and what they would have liked to have seen passed but didn't get the chance to this go-round. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the November general elections coming up and beyond. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or comment for our lawmakers. In no particular order, they are Democratic State Representative Nick Milroy of South Range. Nick Milroy joins us by phone from his home way up north. Nick Milroy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rich.
Good to have you.
Good to talk to you.
Excellent. Likewise. And in studio, we've got Treg Pronchinsky, Republican state lawmaker and mayor of Mondovi. He joins us in the studio, but he hails from way out west, as far as Eau Claire is considered. Treg Pronchinsky, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Again, 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. If you've got a question or a comment, we're going to be talking about the tail end of the state legislative session from 2017-2018. A lot of stuff happened. I mean, of course, you've got the biennial budget bill, Foxconn, you name it. There's lots to talk about, even though it's just wrapping up. Still work to be done, though. Also, we're going to talk a bit about what's to come maybe next session, you know, some of the bills that these lawmakers may have in their back pocket that they'd like to see move along. So we'd like you to join the conversation, 1-800-228-5615. So the first thing I wanted to talk about has to do with the governor's special session, and the assembly, I believe, passed most of the bills, if not all of them. I think it was in February or just after. But this has to do with the welfare reforms that Governor Walker had proposed. This package includes increasing the number of hours that a person must work to be enrolled in job training in order to qualify for benefits like food stamps. Also, some of the measures require able-bodied parents to undergo drug testing in order to qualify for benefits as well. So, in a nutshell, where are we at with this? I'm going to start with you, Treg Pronchinsky. Has the assembly basically wrapped this up, and is what needs to happen yet before this becomes law?
Well, I believe the Senate has to clean up on all the welfare bills that have been proposed and passed through the Senate, and I don't know exactly where their spot is on that. And then, of course, it goes to the governor's desk. But, you know, this is something that's been talked about for a couple of years now, I believe. I'm new to this. This mm-hmm. is only my first term. But, you know, my position on this is we need to get able-bodied people to work. I know there's a lot of job opportunities out there. And when you listen to businesses across my district and across western Wisconsin, they're looking for workers. And, you know, success is something that's great. And I believe everybody should have that opportunity. You know, but keeping in mind, you know, we have some people with disabilities and vulnerables that, you know, these services are there to help those people out.
Mm-hmm. Representative Milroy, your thoughts on the I think we've had you on the program talking about this legislation before, or maybe it was also, I know we heard from Janet Buley, but what's your take on the special session legislation that is probably going to be sent to the governor any day now?
Well, I think anytime you have something come up at the very last minute and what's shaping up to be a tough election year, you really have to scrutinize it. If these reforms were something that were that necessary, it was something that could have been done last January. Instead, we get it at the last minute of the session. This is nothing more than election day politics, and it's not the way we should be legislating in Wisconsin.
Would you agree, though, that these are ideas that have at least been discussed for a while, though? I mean, welfare reform it doesn't seem like a new plank for the Republican Party in the state.
Well, exactly. This is the first page on the Republican playbook. When they're in trouble, they go to attacking the poor because they know that it polls well with their voters. So essentially all of the quote-unquote reforms that they're putting in place, they've done in the past, and it's just moving it up the field another yard.
Trick Pronchinsky, what about the timing of this? The governor, I mean, like you said, these are ideas that have been around for a long time, but the governor specifically introduced or started making press, you know, about his proposal just days after the 10th Senate District, which has been held or was held for something like 17 years by Sheila Harsdorf, state Senate Republican, who is now in the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. A lot of people on the left kind of got a little snarky about the timing of this, thinking that and accusing the governor of just kind of throwing a little bit of red meat to the voters because he's nervous about some kind of a rising Democratic tide.
Sure. Well, this is obviously my first session and mm-hmm. term, and very busy. The budget process was drug on longer than I felt it should have been. Mm. And, you know, I don't know if we would have went at these things sooner if we would have been done with that. And, you know, unfortunately, the campaign season seemed to be growing and getting longer and longer. And, you know, as for the timing, I just don't know if there's anything to that. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is that, you know, as these campaign seasons get longer and longer, you can pin everything on a campaign bid. And you know, at what point is it going to stop? I don't know.
Right. I mean, we've got the president already campaigning for 2020. I mean, it does never end, especially for the assembly. It seems like that every 2 years turns into kind of constantly. What I wanted to know also about the changes to the welfare laws that are being suggested, a lot of these have to be approved by the federal government. Do you have any indication, any idea of what they'll say about the drug testing? And I'm not even sure do childless, able-bodied adults have to take a drug test yet, or is that still pending approval?
I'm not for certain on that, but, you know, as for the federal government giving us waivers, I guess, you know, it's in their hands, and of course we've kind of taken the stance in our caucus that this is the direction we want to go, and if they don't want to give us a waiver, I guess we're pretty much gonna have to stay where we're at.
Representative Milroy, what do you think? What are the odds that the federal government grants these waivers?
Well, with the current administration that we have, I mean, anything can happen. So it's up in the air.
Right. Do you know if the because Governor Walker, I think it's been more than a year, suggested that, you know, the drug testing start with childless, able-bodied adults, people that are on the Badger Care Plus. And I'm not even sure. As far as I know, I don't think that the drug testing has actually happened. So, I mean, do you know whether that's in effect or not?
I don't.
Okay. Another thing that's up before that could have some pretty big implications. This is a little bit outside of the wheelhouse of state lawmakers here, but the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to take up the Wisconsin redistricting lawsuit, and there's speculation as to how the justices may vote and when the decision may come about or when it might be any decision might actually go into effect. So in a nutshell, the plaintiffs are Democratic voters who say that the maps drawn by Republicans in 2011 basically leave them without fair representation, because even if Republicans get fewer votes, they pick up seats, so they feel disenfranchised. The defendants say, the state and the Republicans say, that the maps are not unconstitutional and that the Constitution guarantees that elected officials draw the maps, not the courts. So, Nick Milroy, how important is this case, and do you think, you know, how do you think it'll turn out?
Well, first of all, I have no idea how it will turn out. This will be up to the judges. But how I feel about the case is I think it's very important that voters have an opportunity to select their representative. And when you have partisan gerrymandered districts that pretty much guarantee that one party is going to win each district, it really disenfranchises voters, and it's something that hurts our democracy. And I think the more fair we can make the maps, the better off our democracy is going to be.
Treg Pranchinsky, do you think that the maps are unfair? I mean, a lot of Democrats have said for a long time that these maps have been drawn, you know, with supercomputers, et cetera, to really make it tougher for Democrats to get into power or hold power. Do you think that the maps do give a bias, an advantage to Republicans, or were meant to?
I guess I can't answer that. I wouldn't know 100% sure, but, you know, I look at the district that I represent. There hasn't been a Republican assemblyman from the district that I'm in and like 38 years, somewhere around those lines. And, you know, those are my constituents that I represent, and you know, I was elected to this position, and, you know, I mean, that's one of the thoughts that come to my mind is how was I able to, you know, win an election in, you know, such a polarized or magnified, you know, redistricting process. But, you know, we did, and I'm saying we as the Republican caucus, drew the lines after the 2010 elections. And the Democrats have drawn the lines in past years. That's been going on with the history of the state. And I feel that we didn't do anything unconstitutional. We did it within the law.
Representative Milroy, that's one of the arguments is that Democrats have probably had the chance to change the law, to go from lawmakers drawing the lines to, say, you know, a bipartisan panel or something, but they haven't. So.
Right. Well, let's get the facts straight first. Democrats have never had carte blanche at drawing the redistricting lines, and the fact of the matter is Democrats did have an opportunity to change the way that we do redistricting, to take it out of the hands of the lawmakers and have a nonpartisan panel, and that was a very contentious debate when the Democrats were in control in Wisconsin, and something that a lot of people are upset that the Democrats didn't do back in 2008.
With that, let's. And if with regard to these to the redistricting case, if judges this summer do rule on it, and if they do overturn the maps or something. There's question whether or not the whatever new maps, whether they'll take effect before the November elections or after. Treg Pranchinsky, do you think trying to change the maps, you know, months before an election would be a good idea or would be chaotic?
You know, I don't know if it would be a good idea. I think if it would happen before the election, I think it would be very chaotic, no doubt about it. I know we're getting down to when, you know, papers can be pulled to run for election real quick here, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, that window is closing. You know, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but something will have to be done if the Supreme Court rules that they need to be redrawn, and I think that there's going to be some long hours put and everybody involved, so it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
You might get called back, but you all might get called back to do some emergency tweaks. Representative Milroy, do you think if the VAMPs are overturned, would it be too short a notice to try to get them into effect by November 2018? Would you even want that?
No, that I wouldn't want that, and that's not going to happen. We're so far along right now that the maps are set for this upcoming election in November. I think if it's overturned, the courts will give the legislature the opportunity to redraw the maps. And, you know, that's a process. They'll have to give them a specified amount of time to do that. So this will be a process.
It will be a process, an interesting process, I would say. With that, let's take our first break here on the west side. I've just been informed that there was some technical difficulties, and some of the folks on WHWC may have missed a few minutes of the program. Just to remind you, we're talking with lawmakers from western and northwestern Wisconsin. Treg Pranchinsky joins me in studio. He's a Republican state representative, and he's also the mayor of Mondovi. Nick Milroy joins us by phone from his home in South Range. He's a Democratic state representative. covering northwestern Wisconsin. 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. We're talking about some of the loose ends that are being tied up in the state legislature right now, just before the end of the 2017-2018 legislative session. 1-800-228-5615.
Support also comes from the John Michael Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan, presenting Unseen Forces, 5 original exhibitions exploring invisible powers at play in the world and in contemporary art. JMKAC.org. Support also comes from the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, Minnesota, hosting the Soar with the Eagles Festival with flying bird programs and special events each weekend in March. Details are at nationaleaglecenter.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking politics, state politics, that is. The 2017-2018 state legislative session is about to wrap up. The state Senate has one more day. We believe it's March 20th when they'll tie up some loose ends. The Assembly, is for the most part, has already gone home. They're working, getting back to their daily lives, but you never know. Anything can happen. Lawmakers can be called back. But in the meantime, we're talking about looking back at the 2017-2018 legislative session, at what some of these lawmakers are proud of, you know, what they'd like to see done in the future. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the November general elections, things like the gubernatorial race, etc. 1-800-228-5615. We've got phone lines filling up right now, so we've got one line open. Keep trying, and if you can't get through, you can send us an email at, well, richard.kremer@wpr.org. So with that, let's talk about Foxconn. Right now, there is the question of water that has big implications for the Foxconn development. That is the liquid crystal display screen manufacturing plant that is proposed down in the southeastern corner of Wisconsin. Up to 13,000 jobs have been promised, more than $3 billion in state state tax breaks and incentives are going to the company. So super mega development. Now it has to do with water. So the city of Racine is looking at getting approval from the state and from the neighboring states and provinces to withdraw as much as $7 million a day of water from Lake Michigan. So do you think that the state should approve this? And we'll get into the impacts or the implications with the Great Lakes Compact. Nick Milroy, I'll start with you. What do you think about the withdrawal? Do you think it'll be approved?
I do suspect it will be approved, and I hope if it is approved that the highest standards possible are placed on the discharge of whatever water comes out of that plant so that we're not, degrading the water quality of Lake Michigan any further than it already is.
Treg Pronchinski, you have any thoughts on this and whether, this should get the green light?
Well, I suspect it will be cleared, and I have to agree with Representative Milroy. We need to have high standards on what is put back into Lake Michigan. The Great Lakes, living in the Midwest and Wisconsin specifically, is a great resource that we've had for, shipping and for obviously water that we consume. And, yeah, we need to take care of our Great Lakes and our waters across the state, no doubt.
Precious resource, definitely. The Great Lakes Compact, this is something that was passed back in was enacted in around 2008. This was under Governor Jim Doyle, a Democrat. But basically, the way I understand it, any diversion coming from Lake Michigan or any of the Great Lakes has to pass a couple of tests. One of the main tests is that the diversion has to be for the public use. And there are some, analysts that are kind of questioning whether or not this will pass that test. Nick Milroy, do you think that setting the water to Foxconn is in the public use?
That's a good question. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how to word it to say that it would be in the public use. From just a lay person, just an average everyday guy, I wouldn't say that using water for a corporation would be considered public use, but I'm sure they can figure out a way to twist it. The one other diversion from the Great Lakes Compact was for public use, and that was for the city of Waukesha to mm-hmm. withdraw water from Lake Michigan.
Right.
And the bigger hurdle is the fact that they need every governor in the Great Lakes states and also the heads of the provinces in Canada to sign off on any diversion.
Right. That will be a heavy lift. It'll be interesting to see how that goes through. So would you, Trey Pronchinsky, Representative Pronchinsky, I'm sorry, would that diversion from Lake Michigan for a big project like this that, you know, will also turn out to hopefully hire a lot of people, is that public use, do you think?
Well, there again, I'm not an attorney as well, but, you know.
I should get attorneys for this show.
You should. There is a couple of us out there, so you could find them if you don't have to look real hard, but which we do have a great mix of people that represent us. But, you know, that's going to be debatable, and I think that, you know, like Representative Milroy talked about, all the governors and the heads of the provinces have to basically sign off on this. So, you know, if it's something that's there legally, of course, they're probably going to move this forward. And if it's not, they'll probably hold it up. But I suspect it will pass.
And I know that neither one of you are directly at the table across from Terry Gough or Terry Gough negotiating this whole Foxconn thing. But what would the implications be if they can't get the water that they need? I mean, this, I guess, manufacturing these displays takes a lot of water. And has there been any discussion in the caucuses about, well, what the heck happens if they can't get at Lake Michigan water or no? Representative Pronchinsky?
I'm not aware of any discussion in caucus regarding this. You know, I think that it's just a step process. If this doesn't work, we might have to find a different solution to accommodate their needs. But, you mm-hmm. know, hopefully we can find a solution for them and get this facility built so we can get people put to work and economy to grow in southeastern Wisconsin.
Nick Milroy, do you think, you know, if this gets held up, if the governors and provincial leaders say no, then what happens?
Well, there's a lot more water in Lake Superior than there is in Lake Michigan, Rich.
Yes. So they'll build it in Superior?
No, I'm just making a slight joke there for you. But
all right.
I think that if they can't get past the water issue, I think it's going to be difficult for them to locate on the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be a huge hurdle for them. I do think that the governors will sign off on it. I do think that they'll figure out a way to legally make it part of the public good or whatever the definition is under the Great Lakes Compact.
Well, we'll see about that. Now let's go to callers. We've got Willem in Colfax first on the line, first on the air. Willem, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, just as a general comment about this water withdrawal from Lake Michigan, my understanding was that, you know, what you withdraw has to be returned in form of treated water. And also my understanding is that there's going to be like 30% of the water that's drawn that's going to be either lost in the process of manufacturing or used and not be returned to the lake. So there's a net loss to the lake in the amount of water that's in the lake. And in a general comment I wanted to make about the Republican administration's attitude toward water in general with their recent ruling about being able to fill in wetlands without a permit and not being able to, for the DNR to comment on the number of high-capacity wells, excuse me, in an area. You know, like you can only rule on a single permit, not the fact that there's 10 other high-capacity wells in the same area. I think these Republican attitudes toward water are highly irresponsible to both to us now and to future generations. But the other thing that bothers me about Foxconn deal is there's no mechanism in this deal that assures that the jobs will go to Wisconsin residents, or that all these highly touted, you know, effects of other suppliers of Foxconn will be from suppliers in the state of Wisconsin. So I think it's a misuse of taxpayer dollars, and I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand. I don't approve of the idea of using public money, which I think of taxpayer dollars being should be spent for the general welfare of the people of Wisconsin, not a private billionaire-owned corporation from Taiwan.
Willem, we hear you loud and clear. I want to get comments from our lawmakers here. Representative Pronchinsky, there have been, you know, some harsh criticisms about some of the bills that have come through the legislature pushed by Republicans that have to do with the wetlands. I mean, I've got some questions about that we'll get to in just a bit. But people are basically saying that the Republicans are dialing back environmental regulations. And would you agree with that?
Well, as everybody knows that's listening, I would think that I'm from Western Wisconsin, and of course you got to weigh and balance the pros and cons to, you know, a $3 billion incentive package, as well as opportunities for people to work at this. And I know that the caller that just called in talked about, you know, are the jobs going to come from people who live in Wisconsin? Are they going to be residents of Illinois? And that was a concern of mine as well. And, you know, the bottom line is, in my opinion, is if we have opportunities in Wisconsin and they like their job, their career at a facility as Foxconn, maybe they'll be interested in moving into Wisconsin. And we definitely need growth. We need growth in rural Wisconsin. I don't want to get off on a tangent with that. But, you know, there's supply chains that are going to go to this. There's already one company that is in my district that is working down at the Foxconn area. And I think that that's a great positive thing for my district, because I know a lot of guys are packing their bags and going down there to work for a period of time to get the infrastructure built there. Mm-hmm. So those are parents of kids that go to school in my district, and they have to provide for them. So I think that it's already been a positive thing in my district. But, you know, it's a big opportunity, and it's the biggest economic growth project in the country as of right now that I'm aware of. And, you know, I'm happy to have it in Wisconsin. But getting back to the water part of it, you know, we need to be concerned and watching what's going on with our water, because it is such a precious resource. And I think that if something in the future moves on that we've compromised that, we need to take action.
Representative Milroy, you know, going back to what Willem mentioned about the what he calls, you know, attacks by the Republicans on environmental regulations specific to water, what do you say?
Well, the price tag for Foxconn is astronomical, and every single taxpayer across Wisconsin is going to be paying for this. Now, this is a huge risk with potentially a huge reward, but if it doesn't pan out, we're going to be on the hook for this. And any time, I think that when you're looking at Wisconsin's water policy and kind of the policy around Foxconn, you have to look at the big picture. Our water quality in Wisconsin has continually been getting worse. We see surface waters that are becoming more and more polluted, more and more rivers and streams and lakes are being added to the impaired waters list, and then we also see groundwater issues all across Wisconsin where we have contaminated wells or lack of groundwater to the point where rivers and streams and lakes are drying up in certain parts of the state. And we have a legislature that hasn't addressed it. In fact, they've only made it worse. This session, they passed a bill that will allow people to fill in wetlands without getting a permit. This is the worst bill for wetlands and for sportsmen in a generation, and it's going to lead to the loss of even more wetlands in Wisconsin.
The bill you're referring to has to do with isolated wetlands, and some have said that those have negligible, you know, they don't have the impact that these other wetlands, the federally protected wetlands, do. Any response to that?
Well, I don't know who says that or who believes that, but if you ask any scientist, these wetlands are just as important as what are considered the federally regulated wetlands. The only difference is the reason why they're federally regulated is because they're connected to a federal waterway. Otherwise, there's no difference between a federally regulated wetland and one that is under Wisconsin's jurisdiction.
And Representative Pronchinsky, some of the people that were pushing this wetland bill that was passed, I think it was passed months ago, but they were saying that, you know, a lot of times in a farm field, there will be an area that kind of becomes wet, saturated, and then that'll be considered a wetland, so they can't touch it. Did you hear, I mean, when your district has got a lot of rural agriculture in there. Have you heard that?
Yeah, so I can attest to what you're talking about with the agricultural fields.
That was argument anyway. I'm not sure if it holds up. But
so, you know, my topographical layout in my district is bluff country, very rolling hills, mm-hmm. and it's been very wet the last few years, very wet, where farmers weren't able to get in the fields in those areas. And over time, they maybe grow a specific species of grass or a cattail, and they'd be deemed a wetland. And that really impedes on the amount of property that a farmer can use. And if you had to describe my district in one word, it's agriculture. And that's what keeps the wheel spinning in my district. And, you know, there is some concerns about, you know, the effects of this. I've heard the debate on both sides. And I know that Representative Milroy is very passionate in clean water. I sit on a couple of committees with him, and he makes some very good points. But, you know, I think that this bill is not wide open that we can do anything and everything to all our wetlands, as he talked about the federally regulated. But our state has some more constricting laws about wetlands, and this is just a small percentage. And I think that it's going to help out the ag industry, and it's also going to help for some of the expansion close to municipalities where they're kind of stuck.
And one other wetland thing I want to bring up before we go to the phones, we do have a call from Terry in Colfax, and we'll get right to them. But there, aside from this bill that we just talked about, there is another bill that contained an amendment, a last-minute amendment to exempt Atlanta Timber Company, Meteor Timber, from the need to get a wetland fill permit for a frac sand mine that they want to build, a $70 million facility in kind of bordering Jackson County and Monroe County. This is outside of both of your districts, but I just wanted to get your take on it. The Senate still has to approve this exemption, and there has been pushback from some Republicans who say that, well, this isn't the proper way to address an issue, you know, as an amendment to a largely technical bill. So I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but Craig Pronchinsky, I'll start with you. Do you think that this is the proper way for the company to get the green light to build their facility as an amendment to a largely technical bill that's kind of unrelated?
Yeah, so with my experience in government, there's obviously a process, and a lot of times the process goes through the full course, and you know, we do have an opportunity to amend bills, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm not usually in favor of these things. I think that people need to hear what's going on, be as most transparent as possible, but also you have to keep in mind that, you know, people want to get things done and rolling, and I think this will provide some economic growth and like you say, Monroe and Jackson County.
Nick Murray, your thoughts on this amendment, what some have been calling it a last-minute amendment for Meteor Timber.
Yeah, this was a last-minute amendment. In fact, I didn't know anything about it until one of my colleagues came up to me on the floor and showed me some information on it and said, "Do you know anything about this?" And I told him I had no idea what he was talking about, and it was something that we were voting on that day. And it was an amendment to a bill that had nothing to do with the bill, but would allow a company to fill in, I think it was 100 acres, of some of the most rare and valuable wetlands in Wisconsin. Now, keep in mind that this was a week after they passed the wetland deregulation bill, claiming that it was going that the bill that they passed was still going to protect all of these rare and endangered species that live in these wetlands, and the high quality wetlands would be preserved. The following week, we get a bill and an amendment attached to it that will wipe out one of these very valuable wetlands in Wisconsin. This is one of the reasons why voters don't trust the Republican Party and politicians, because they do things that are seen as corrupt instead of going through the proper process, putting a bill out there, telling the public what you want to do, why you want to do it, and why you think it's an appropriate thing to do in Wisconsin. Instead, in the dark of night, they're passing things like this.
The company, Meteor Timber, had admitted, at least this was reported, I think it was the State Journal or the Journal Sentinel, but that, you know, they've gone through the processes and they feel that they're being stifled. They feel that there's two challenges, I believe, or maybe it's just one, but environmental groups are going before an administrative law judge to try to get the DNR to kind of take back the permit that they've already given the company. So the company says that there's obstruction here and that they were looking for remedy. What do you say to that, Nick Milroy?
I don't know the facts of the case and the details of the case, but I do know that it comes down to this 100 acres of pristine and very valuable wetlands that they wanted to fill. There's plenty of places that people can mine frack sand in Wisconsin. I don't think we need to be jeopardizing the last of these wild places in order to get at every last ounce of frack sand they want.
Let's take our final break here on the west side. We've got a caller in Colfax. Stay on the line, Terry. We'll be right with you. When we come back, we'll wrap up the discussion. We've still got a lot to talk about with regard to issues before the state legislature and that may come up in the future. Also, we can talk a bit about the elections, which is some of my favorite things to talk about. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. I'm joined by Nick Milroy, a Democratic state representative from South Range, and Treg Prochinski, a Republican state representative and mayor of Mondovi. This is the West Side.
There are 54,000 individuals and families who contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to their investment, you can hear your favorite programs and discover new ones all over Wisconsin and beyond. Thank you. Support also comes from Literacy Chippewa Valley. Registration is open for businesses and organizations to put together teams for the 2018 Scrabble Bee on April 19th. Registration by March 21st. LiteracyCV.org.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this beautiful Monday morning. I am joined in the studio by Treg Prochinski. He's a Republican state representative, and he's the mayor of Mondovi. Nick Milroy joins us by phone. He is a Democratic state representative from South Range up in northwestern Wisconsin. We're talking about the tail end of the state legislative session, the 2017-2018 session, to be exact. Let's go to the phones right now. We've got Terry in Colfax. Terry, you're on the air. Thanks for hanging in there. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll start off by saying I'm a senior living on a fixed income. I did a little research yesterday at the Department of Public Instruction, and I don't know if your guests know that there's 65 K-12 referenda that's going to go on the block in April.
Mm.
And Mondovi's one of them. And the problem I have with referenda is, although all voters in a school district can vote, it's the property taxpayers that get the bill. And having saying that, 10,000 people in the United States turn 65 every day and will for the next 17 or 18 years. I don't think Wisconsin is insulated from this fact.
Mm-mm.
And the problem I'm having is, I've been saying this for the last 2 years, that I don't care what party you're from, you're throwing us under the bus. How, and in combination, the double whammy is local property taxpayers funding the Wisconsin Technical College system. I've been saying for six 16 years at the pursuit of all public higher education is completely an individual choice. I'm sitting in Elk Mound right now, and I'll be talking to my local district rep, and I just think this is deplorable that this many years seniors living on fixed income and others are consistently being thrown under the bus. We have, as far as the tech college system, property valuation is, there's no correlation with that and the ability to pay. I'd like to hear the thoughts from your guests.
Terry, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let me start with you, Nick Milroy. You know, we've heard this argument that if a person doesn't, you know, their kids aren't in school, maybe not for decades, you know, but they're still footing the bill. Their taxes may be going up locally while their incomes may be steady. So what do you tell folks like Terry when you hear this, Nick?
Well, I couldn't agree with Terry more. I don't agree with the notion that people who don't have kids going to school shouldn't help pay for schools. I think it's very important that everyone helps pay for schools. I think the point that the caller was making was that too much of the burden falls on property owners. And I think he's correct. And especially when you're talking about senior citizens and people on fixed incomes, we can't continue to shift the cost of education onto property owners. Becoming too expensive, and it's going to drive people out of home ownership. This comes down to the failure of Governor Walker and the legislature to fix the school funding for Wisconsin over the last 8 years. There's no reason why the state of Wisconsin should not be picking up a larger percentage of the tab when it comes to paying for our schools.
But where would that money come from? I mean, doesn't that come from the taxpayers anyway?
It comes from the taxpayers, but it would shift the burden from property owners to all taxpayers. And I think that was kind of the point that the caller was getting at.
Okay. Representative Pronchinsky, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I agree with some of the things Representative Milroy said here, that the property owners are paying the brunt of a lot of these, you know, education issues that we have. And I feel for the caller that called in. I have parents that are getting old, and I have in-laws that are getting old, and the property taxes is tough on them. They're on fixed incomes, and I think about it quite often on how we can get to a solution. And as I was running the campaign, I definitely agree with Representative Milroy in the stance that the school funding formula is broken. In my district, we haven't had a lot of growth. The population has been stagnant. We needed to get more improved value, whether it's commercial improved value or residential, to, you know, get away from these referendums that we're having. And I know that the caller referenced Mondovi, and specifically, it is an aging demographic in that specific city. And district, and that's going to be an issue moving forward. And I wish I had the magic wand, and I'm open to have any discussion on fixing that school formula. That is something that we need to take a hard look at.
And from, you know, from where I'm sitting on the other end of this the table, we've had a lot of lawmakers on this show from both parties say exactly that the school funding formula is broken, it needs to be reformed, et cetera, and yet, you know, I've been doing this show almost 10 years, or getting close to 10 years, but yet we're still operating under that same formula. Craig Pronchinsky.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, I think the difficult height to climb is that there's winners and losers if it gets fixed. Mm-hmm. And that's the fight, whether you have an R or a D by your name. No one's going to like it if you're getting the losing end of the stick. And that's the tough thing that we need to get over, and we have to come to an understanding that if we fix the formula, we're going to be in a better position, but it's the process to get there.
So how about this? There was a proposal or a set of bills anyway that were floated. I'm not sure. I don't think they made it, but that would limit when referendums can happen for school districts and would limit what referendums can be collecting money for. do you think that's a solution, Representative Kronchinsky?
Well, I don't know if that's an ultimate solution, but that might be a step in the right direction. And we need to hold not just our school districts, but our local municipalities, you know, accountable for what they're doing with taxpayers' dollars.
Representative Milroy, your thoughts on kind of reining in these referendums?
If we rein in the referendums the way that everything is set up right now, we will have more and more consolidation of schools. There has been an astronomical increase in the number of referendums that have happened across the state. Now, I'm not a big fan of referendums, but it's the only opportunity for some of these school districts to raise the revenue they need just to keep the doors open. And that's the unfortunate thing, is when you slash education, as Governor Walker has, over $1 billion, that it trickles down to every school district throughout the state. We've seen a dramatic rise in these referendums. And the problem with the referendums is, if you live in an affluent area, passing these referendums sometimes is no problem. They have no problem investing in their schools in these areas. But if you represent districts like Representative Kronchinsky and I represent that are highly rural, where a lot of people live on fixed incomes or live very simple lives, it's very difficult to pass these referendums, because even though people want to support their local schools, they simply know they don't have the money to do it.
We're running close to the top of the hour. We may be able to take a call, 800-228-5615, but I wanted to talk quickly about two things, Lincoln Hills and CWD. Not related to each other, but the Assembly passed a bill that would close Lincoln Hills Youth Prison north of Wausau by 2021. The plan would move inmates to smaller county-run institutions around the state and some of the more serious offenders to other state-run facilities. Unanimous support in the Assembly. Scott Fitzgerald, who is the Republican the majority leader in the Senate, says that it might be a tough pill to swallow. So, Representative Kronchinsky, are you hopeful that the Senate passes this bill, or what might be next for the Lincoln Hills saga?
Well, I do hope that the Senate passes it. I think keeping youth close to home when they're in those times of needing some assistance is very important. And smaller groups might be a positive thing for these individuals. Hey, we're not all in a perfect world,
right.
And I'm concerned of our youth moving forward. You know, especially the ones that are in these situations where they're troubled, and we really need to, you know, move forward with this and get them in a better place and go from there.
Representative Milroy, your thoughts on, you know, what the Senate might do and what happens if they don't support the plan?
Yeah, well, 6 years ago, the issues at Lincoln Hills were brought to the governor's attention. And it's just absolutely shameful what these kids have had to go through at Lincoln Hills, and that it's taking the legislature 6 years to try to address it. The very next day after we passed the Lincoln Hills bill, the Republicans authorized a new $350 million for a new prison. And to me, these things are absolutely, they don't even correlate. It doesn't even make sense that you're going to close one of these juvenile detention centers and you're going to try to, you know, help these kids live closer to home, get better services there. At the same time, you're going to build these new prisons. To me, it's just incoherent corrections policy. And, you know, we need a better strategy when it comes to dealing not only with our youth, but also with incarcerated populations.
All right, last topic before we jump into whatever we can squeeze into a minute, I think, for elections. Chronic wasting disease, we got another positive. A Washington County deer breeding farm has reported a positive case of chronic wasting disease. I made a call on Friday, found out that there were 70 CWD positive deer from deer hunting ranches, some of which know that they've got it on the premises and are allowed to continue operating. Representative Kronchinsky, do you think that there should be more regulations of deer farms?
We need to be concerned with CWD, no doubt about it. A concentrated herd is easier to watch than a wild herd, but we have to keep in mind that, you know, deer hunting turns our economy. It's a great economic impact, and people certainly enjoy doing it. I've done it since I've been 12 years old, mm-hmm. you know, but getting to the question of, you know, these deer farms, you know, it's definitely a concern, and I'd like to have the discussion moving forward.
Representative Milroy, I know you've got some thoughts on this. We talked on Friday about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what should be done?
Well, we need stricter regulations on deer farms, not only to protect our wild population, but there are hundreds of these deer farmers across Wisconsin that have millions and millions and millions of dollars invested in their operations. There's a few bad apples in Wisconsin. Anytime these deer farms pop up with a CWD case, it impacts that county and it increases the likelihood that this disease is going to spread from farm to farm and even into the wild population. And that's why we need stricter regulations to make sure we're not jeopardizing the other businesses and we're not jeopardizing the wild deer herd and our strong and proud hunting heritage.
We don't even have time to talk about the November general elections. That's too bad. But, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time, for your discussion. Trek Pronchinski is a Republican state representative and mayor of Mondovi. Nick Milroy is a Democratic state representative from South Range. I really appreciate you both being willing to come on the program again and again. It's a great opportunity for our listeners and voters. That's our time. I'd also like to thank Team Westside for helping out, including Mort Cypress and Bonnie Lenz Clark for on-air production. Henry Lippold for producing the hour, Hannah Pitzel for promotions, and of course Dean Kallenbach and Kate Spranger for putting a nice little bow on top of the whole thing. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.